Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully, wherever you are across the country, you are safe and warm this week. Obviously, winter weather has sort of blanketed everyone, whether you're in the Pacific Northwest, whether you're in the Mid-Atlantic with several bouts of snow, whether you're even in Texas, even in places like Dallas and Houston. I got into the Winter Weather Act over the last week and other places in the Southeast as well. There was even snow as far as southern Alabama this past week. So hopefully everybody's enjoying the winter weather. Hopefully everybody's safe and warm and coping with the challenges that winter weather makes for supply chains, as everybody knows. And that's going to be a lot of what we talk about this week on the podcast. It's going to be the impacts from that winter weather that we're seeing on volumes, seeing on supply chains, and going to continue to see in the data for the next several weeks. Before we jump right in, though, many of you may have wondered where the podcast was over the last several weeks. I know we have many loyal listeners out there. No, we were not taken off the air. It was really just I was out of the office for several weeks on paternity leave, and now we are back in the office and back in the saddle once again to hopefully continue to bring you on a weekly basis all of the rail information and rail information that you need and analysis that you need. Hopefully, over the last several weeks, you didn't abandon us. Hopefully, you were able to find information elsewhere. But that now that we're back in the office, back in the saddle, as it were, you can count on us every week going forward to give you the latest news and analysis in the rail space. So let's talk about it. Intermodal traffic has really weakened. Despite congestion at several major port complexes, intermodal traffic has come down. It's still at strong levels, but it's nowhere near where it was because the carriers are having trouble processing all this volume with all the weather-related issues that they're having. And it's not just an intermodal problem. It's also in the carload markets. You're seeing all of the carload markets, particularly the economically sensitive carload markets, react to the winter weather, react to the service disruptions that are out there on most all of the major carriers in the last few weeks, and we've seen it flow through in the numbers. But let's start, as we always do, in the intermodal markets. Let's look at containers. Things have come down over the last couple of weeks. We hit our high right the very last week, the first week that we stopped doing this podcast while I was out of the office. It hit the peak of the present cycle, a little bit back to where we were right before the holidays, and now we have started to drift lower in the last several weeks. We're still at very strong levels. We're still about 20,000 carloads a week above the five-year average. We're still mid to upper single digits above where we were at this time last year, which was before we started to see COVID impacts in the numbers. So we're still at a very strong level. We're still at a good level. We're just not quite as high as we were previously. And this is despite the fact that you have media reports looking at 62 different ships anchored off the San Pedro Bay ports as this is recorded. So there is definitely volume in the system, but the carriers have had trouble moving volume, and they're going to continue to have trouble moving volume over the next several weeks because of all the winter weather that's flowed across all portions of their network, whether it's the Pacific Northwest, whether it's Chicago, whether it's the Southeast. Everybody's been affected. Both Western Railroads have service advisories up at the present time telling shippers to expect significant extended delays in shipping times because of the winter weather. The Union Pacific actually put out an advisory halting essentially most inbound intermodal shipments, inbound in-gates at their intermodal facilities for 72 hours this week to try and get a handle on their network, to try and get a handle on the congestion in their yards. The folks I've talked to, no one can ever remember that happening in the history of the intermodal markets. It is truly unprecedented as the carriers try to work through some of the issues that are in their networks. Now, there were some exceptions to the UP's service advisory, including on dock shipments out of Los Angeles and Long Beach, which will help to keep things moving at the ports, ports that are already significantly congested, as we talked about with all the ships offshore in the San Pedro Bay. But interestingly, the UP will only accept on-dock shipments out of Los Angeles, Long Beach. So if you're going to go into the ICTF, if you're trying to transload and re-put volumes into domestic containers in the ICTF, that facility is not going to be accepting shipments over the next 72 hours. And so there is an imbalance. There is going to be some skewing of the numbers as we go forward in the next several weeks to see intermodal both have a headwind but also see a little bit of a mix shift, you know, toward international and less toward domestic, just because of the effect of these changes in operations that the carriers are implementing. And so you may see a mix shift if you're looking at various data sources and the type of intermodal traffic that's moving. For the moment, we have to treat that as a head fake. We have to treat that as a response to what's going on with the carriers and not a true shifting of mix one way or the other. Once we get to a point where those advisories come off and we can look at clean data, we'll be able to see exactly what the mix is, whether it has, in fact, been mix shift or not. If we look at the trailer side of the business, the trailer side of the market has also declined in the last several weeks, and not entirely unexpected. This is a seasonally weak time of year for trailers. When you start to level off after the holidays, you hang fairly flat to where you are. We've declined a little bit over the last several weeks, but we're still up double digits year over year. We're still at a healthy level, right around 23,000 carloads a week. If you think about where we were last year, we were down right about 20,000 carloads a week and not expected to move much from there. So the fact that we have held on to the gains that we made in the back half of 2020 and have not given those back, even as we've seen some declines, is a positive sign for the trailer market as we go forward. Now, the container markets make up most of the intermodal markets, and so it's not unsurprising that containers closely follow the overall intermodal picture. And while we've seen some declines, we're still above the five-year average. We're still up year over year. It'll be very interesting to watch these numbers over the next several weeks and see what the impact of the carrier's service issues are. How low do these numbers get? Do we break below the five-year average at some point? Do we turn negative year over year? What does that look like? How significant are the operational impacts that the carriers are having on overall volume levels? We know there's freight in the system to be moved. The question is, can the carriers move it? If you also listen to the truck market update podcast that my colleague Avery Weiss does every week, you know that the trucking markets, particularly the dry van markets, are running very strong at the moment. How much of the volume that would move intermodally is shifting over to dry van truck at the moment, where folks are looking for capacity any way they can get it? And if they can't get it reliably from the railroads, are they seeking alternate means? Are they going to other modes to get the capacity and move their goods to market? We know that inventories are still low. We know that there's still demand in the system. A lot of folks are still working and shopping from home. There is abundant e-commerce demand in the system. And so we'll have to see, are folks doing some mode shift in response to the congestion, in response to the issues that they're having within not just the rail supply chain, the intermodal supply chain, but also the port supply chain? Are folks trying to make up for lost time by going to the quicker truck mode? We just don't have enough data to know yet, but there are certainly some signs in the data that suggest that could be happening. So on the carload side, shifting gears a little bit, the overall carload markets, well, they are not pretty. You know, they had sort of held their own over the course of the holiday period into the early weeks of 2021. That trend has abated. It's abated here in the last several weeks. We've gone from essentially flat year over year to down low to mid single digits year over year. On a volume number, we're about 20,000-25,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. It's not a pretty picture. But that said, it has just inflected only in the last week to 10 days or so. So that suggests a lot of the headwinds for carload markets are related to the weather disruptions that we're seeing both on the carriers' networks and shipper facilities. In Texas, there have been widespread power outages in Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, large industrial complex areas. You've seen several refiners announce shutdowns of their facilities. That has an impact on industrial demand, has an impact on the industrial economy. It also has an impact on the amount of freight that has to be moved in the system. And so it's not unsurprising that we've seen a decline in carload volumes. We would expect that to continue when we get the data next week, which reflects the present week that we're in, which has been majorly disrupted across much of the country. And we'll have to see how long it takes for both the industrial facilities and the railroads to sort of normalize their operations going forward. But we could see this kind of headwind in volumes for the next several weeks before we get a clean picture of where are the carload markets. Are they going to hold at these levels, or are we going to bounce back to where we were before the weather-related disruption restarted to take hold of the system? Now, economically sensitive freight is an even bleaker picture. Relative to it, the weather's disruptions, the weather's effects on volumes. Now, a reminder, since we've been away for a while, when we talk about economically sensitive freight here at FTR, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, and pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economic fundamentals. And you can see, if you downloaded the slide deck, that over the last 2 weeks, the year-over-year declines have ballooned. You know, we've gone from nearly flat, very similar to the carload markets, to down 30%, down over 50% in the latest four-week average, down close to 90,000 carloads a week when we had been running about 190,000 carloads a week. So it's a huge reduction in economically sensitive freight volumes as we go through the last several weeks. As some of these industrial plants come offline, as carriers cope with service issues, there has been a dramatic decoupling of economically sensitive freight from the overall carload market. And we'll have to see just how long that lasts. Now, shifting to the more bulk commodities, coal. Coal is well off its five-year average. We're still down about 7%, 8% year over year from where we were just this time last year, which was already a weak number. And we're down below that. We're down about 67,000 carloads a week when we had been running on a five-year average basis up around 87,000 carloads a week. About 20,000 carloads a week of decline in the carload markets is just related to coal, is just related to weakness in those markets. It'll be interesting to see as investigations go on in Texas related to the blackouts that occurred there in several of the Texas cities, whether there is some shifting. We had heard at the end of last year, early this year, some coal plants being decommissioned early in Texas because of economics. It'll be interesting to see if those plants are indeed allowed to retire early or if they are needed to stay online and whether that provides some support for coal as we go forward and whether that's not a warning shot to other power grids, other locations where coal plants were thinking about coming offline earlier than anticipated because of low natural gas prices and abundant renewable fuels. We'll just have to see whether there are shifts in this number, whether there will or not. Time will tell, but it's certainly a possibility. If you're looking to project these numbers 3, 5, 7 years out, it's something you do have to think a little bit about in terms of your expectations for the coal market as we go forward. Shifting gears to other bulk commodities and talking about the grain market, it has been our bright spot. It has been our winner of carload markets really since the middle of last year, and it is still performing very, very well. We're still up about 25% year over year. We're still 8,000 carloads a week above our seasonal five-year average, but it too has been affected by the issues with weather that we've seen across much of the country. When you think about where grain moves, it moves to the Gulf Coast, it moves to the Pacific Northwest, out of the middle of the country. All three of those areas have been dramatically affected by the weather situations that we've seen over the last several weeks, and the carload number for grain reflects that. That said, we're still above the five-year average. We're declining a little bit more than you would expect to seasonally right now. But again, we'll have to see when we get clean data in a couple of weeks. Do we even stay flat, which would be counter-seasonal? You would normally see a little bit of a decline this time of year. If we even get back to flat, that would be a net positive for the grain markets and a net positive for the overall carload markets. Shifting gears to chemicals. Chemicals over the last 2 weeks have seen dramatic declines, which again are counter-seasonal. You would expect to see a little bit of an uptick this time of year. We have not seen that. We've seen the reverse, and we would expect that to continue over the next several weeks because of all those industrial plant closures, all those refinery closures that we've talked about. That's going to be a headwind for this number over the next several weeks. It's really going to be until March before you really get a clean number, a sense of how the chemicals sector is performing and really the overall carload sector as well. to get through some of these outages and some of these ramp-ups as facilities will restart in the coming weeks to see just how long it takes to lap the impacts of these significant weather events that have not just impacted one part of the country. They've been sort of all over, which has made the impact that much greater on some of these numbers. Petroleum products, that volume has come down, but we're essentially in line with our five-year average. So even though we're still dramatically almost 20% off of where we were last year, we're essentially in line with our five-year average. So we're not down dramatically, and we'll have to see what happens as we go forward. In the short term, obviously, there's going to be some headwinds to demand, but over the long run, when you think about the fact that oil has gotten back to $60 a barrel, as you think about the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline, more uncertainty around the fate of the Dakota Access Pipeline, there is certainly the possibility that the petroleum products sector could be positive for carloads as we go forward, as we go into the end of 2021 and beyond, as shippers look for a way to move product to market. There was just a quote in the media from the minister up in Manitoba that basically the investments that have been made in Canada to support crude by rail are not going to go away. They are going to just need to find ways to move it to market, and that way to move it is going to be crude by rail. And as we get into $60 a barrel oil, it becomes all the more economically feasible for producers to move their goods over the long run to the U.S. Gulf Coast and to ultimately global markets. Shifting gears, looking at stone, sand, and gravel, volumes here have weakened a little bit, maybe not as much as you might think given the weather-related disruptions that we've had, but they are declining. And normally, seasonally, you would expect to see volumes increase this time of year. We're starting to get toward the spring in a lot of places. By this point, people are starting to stockpile material on a normal seasonal year. We haven't seen that. It looks like it's going to be a long winter. It's going to be a very sort of late spring in a lot of places. And so that's one more headwind for this number. Back when we stopped this podcast before I went out on leave, we talked about there are a lot of pressures on this particular commodity group through the course of 2021. Those pressures haven't changed. Those pressures are still going to be there. We get a little bit of help in the middle of the year from easier comparisons, but ultimately we still expect to be down 15-20% as we go through the year without a whole lot of upward momentum, not a whole lot of catalyst there. Lumber and wood, it's declined in the latest week, but ultimately it's within about 100 carloads of its five-year average, so it's still holding up okay. We're still a little bit positive compared to where we were this time last year. Lumber and wood, obviously that late spring could dent this over the next 6 weeks or so, but with all of the headwinds, with all of the tailwinds, excuse me, that we've had in the housing market, we would expect to see some additional strength in this commodity group as we go through the balance of the year and into 2022. Pulp and paper, really just following seasonal patterns, which is a little bit unique. We've talked about it again earlier in the year. With all the e-commerce demand, all of the demand for cardboard boxes, you would expect to see box board demand, you would expect to see pulp demand at pretty healthy levels, and we really haven't seen it on the rail side. We're really just adhering to our normal, typical seasonal patterns. There isn't any sort of dramatic uptick, dramatic gain that you might expect to see in that grouping. Motor vehicles and equipment, to wrap up, I know it's been a little bit long this week, you can see that we've started to divert from our five-year average. We had been very close to our five-year average through the end of 2020, and then as 2021 dawned, we expected that we were going to hold pretty close to that number, but then we've got the double whammy effect. We've got supplier issues with semiconductors that have been well documented in the media that have impacted both finished vehicle and medium-duty truck production, as well as heavy-duty truck production, that have slowed manufacturing. We've had a lot of unplanned outages at automobile facilities as a result of that, and now you've got the weather-related disruptions on top of that. So the fact that we are flat is actually a win. Normally, you would expect to see a ramp-up in production, a ramp-up in volume this time of year. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it because of external factors. Until those external factors clear, we're probably going to hang out right about where we are in the 23,000-24,000 carload a week window until those things resolve. On a year-over-year basis, we're down a little bit, but we, in about a month's time, we get much easier comparisons because of COVID-19 in 2020. So even if numbers stay where they are, the year-over-year comparisons will start to get a little bit a little bit misleading, not just for automotive, but for all of the various commodities. It's something we'll have to watch going forward, but most particularly here in automotive, because there was such a dramatic decline in production last year that even a modest year will see dramatic year-over-year gains. We need not be fooled by that as we're looking at the numbers and trying to interpret them. So to wrap up, some key takeaways. Intermodal volumes have moved weaker in the last few weeks, and there could be more pain ahead, not because there's not freight in the system, but because there are headwinds, there are constraints on the system, there are constraints on how much the ports and how much the railroads can move, particularly given the weather-related issues across large portions of the rail network and carrier-imposed restrictions on inbound volume, inbound intermodal volume into their networks. And on the carload side, it's been a struggle. We were sort of holding our own for most of the first month of the year, but February's numbers are not going to be anywhere near expectation, either in carload or intermodal, because of these headwinds that we've seen. And on the carload side, we're not really out of the woods yet. This could drag on for several more weeks in the numbers as folks deal with plant closures, deal with ramp up of those industrial facilities, and the carriers clear out some of the congestion related to weather that's on their networks. So we'll just have to see. It'll probably be March before we can get a real good look, a real good sense of where true demand is in a lot of these commodity groups. And with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you for staying with us this week. Thank you for joining us as always. If you have any questions about what you hear in the podcast, what you're seeing in the marketplace, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team. We're always happy to talk about the markets, talk about what we're seeing, hear what your experience is in the marketplace. And with that, have a great week, stay warm, and we'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.